You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So remember that while these strategies can be effective for teaching boys, it's essential to avoid generalizing about all boys. Each student is an individual with their own learning preferences and needs. So being flexible and responsive as an educator is key to success. So we're going to be looking at some of the strategies and methods that can be beneficial for teachers who are teaching boys. And also when we bring it to the church, we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Clinton Ritabile, who's going to be helping us with this one. Muruti, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I am good, Muruti. How is the pain?
Yeah, the weather is good here, man.
You don't want to go back to what?
I'm not going back. Going back to that heat.
Wait, are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what about your wife? When you're not going back, what about your wife?
He can come here.
Pastor, we need to talk. Me and you. I'm calling a whole ExCom meeting for you.
Yeah.
Are you well?
Blessed money to our listeners too. No, we're good.
We're good. That is the good, my pastor. Thank you so much. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for this opportunity to gather around here and yet again sit for this very important discussion, a discussion that centers around the boy child. May you help us so that we may strengthen the boy child and give them hope in this life where the boy child has been the forgotten figure. Be with us, we humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, do boys learn differently from girls, be it academic, be it at home, be it at church? And also, why is that, if your answer is going to be yes?
My answer is yes, boys learn differently from girls, and I want to believe that it is a combination of different factors, a combination of the biological factor, the social expectations, and the cultural factors. But while it is essential to recognize that individuals can vary significantly regardless of gender, there is a suggestion that boys on average tend to display a certain learning preference. Girls display a learning preference.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the boy child would prefer the kinesthetic way of learning, that is, where they use their hands for learning purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy child is actually more visually oriented in learning as compared to his counterpart. So, okay. Yes, a biological factors, and to a larger extent cultural and social expectations influence how boys learn.
So boys are very much I've heard this when it comes to driving. They get on very fast. And sometimes, you know, when we have gadgets and everything else, they're the very first ones, you know, to crack them and stuff like that. Unlike girls, some girls, they are also that fast, you know. So how can technology be incorporated into boys' learning? What should we do? Most children these days, they have phones. Some of them have more expensive phones than me and you. And you, shame. You know, so how can we incorporate technology into their learning? Should we download apps for them, or how should we go about it?
Like I said, the boys are kinesthetic in their kind of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So indeed, technology can be effectively incorporated in how boys learn.
Mm.
The use of educational apps, the interactive apps or website, simulations. I grew up in a mining town, a diamond mining town. I know that most of the people who drive those big machines that excavate diamonds, before they drive those machines, they get into simulation rooms and they learn how to operate those machines. So simulation is also a way of enhancing the learning of the boy child. And of course, the virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we also, I believe, can be incorporated in effectively teaching the boy child is the gamified. You know, I agree, boys are into PS this, PS that.
Hey, roadblocks.
Yeah. Game Find learning platforms can provide boys with interactive and immersive learning experiences. So there's no doubt that technology can be used to support the execution of instructions to the boy child. And it can also allow educators, I think we need to allow educators to tailor-make content and activities to meet the specific needs and interest of boys. That's the advantage that technology has. In technology, you can come up with programming that enables the educator to meet their student at the point of need, so that the specific needs of a child are met, instead of having somebody stand there in class and apply knowledge in a manner that is not specific to the needs of the student. So indeed, technology can enhance the learning capabilities of the boy child.
There's this thing, Pastor, as much as, so this one I must put with, even with a disclaimer, this question, Murut, as much as we do not encourage competition as a church, but we do know that sometimes competition, it's a healthy, you know, it's a good thing to do. So is competition healthy in the ways in which boys are taught? You know, sometimes you tell our children, hey, when you must be the good striker there, you must be selected for this team, hey, you must be number, well, these days, I don't know, they're in boards, but here, they don't longer do number one in the class, number two, you know, they no longer do that. But in our time, I'm exposing my age now. In our time, you know, they used to do that, like your top five, your top three, and stuff like that. And we always knew, good, yeah, you must be in the top five, you know. So it's such competitions, like, good in a way for us to teach our children and encourage them.
You know, the good thing is that before I joined pastoral ministry, I at one point was a teacher for years, I think for 4 years. And did something else and then joined ministry. So I'm not speaking from a point of ignorance here. Therefore, I would affirmatively say that competition can be both healthy and detrimental in the way boys are taught, depending on how it is implemented and managed. Because while healthy competition can motivate boys to strive for excellence, and whilst it can also enhance and build resilience and develop important life skills such as teamwork and goal setting, it is essential to foster a balance. And above everything else, we need to foster a supportive learning environment because the truth is, excessive or overly aggressive competition can lead to stress. It can also lead to anxiety and a negative learning experience. Therefore, it is crucial to our dear listeners to appreciate that to promote a healthy balance between collaboration and competition. So, indeed, competition has a role to play in enhancing learning, but we need to be careful in how we do it.
This one, Pastor, it's not the other one, eh? It's not the laying of hands. You know, there's the other laying of hands, and there is the biblical laying of hands. So what of a hands-on approach, you know, where we actually do the work with the boy child, teaching them. If we're saying, let's go do the garden, we actually go with them, we teach them, we get our hands dirty there than just saying, lalela. This is how you hold a spade. This is how you hold a fork. This is how you understand. So would a hands-on approach work?
Man, I believe so because I don't think it was out of ignorance or it was of no importance that the Bible that mentions to us that Christ spent a lot of time in his father's workshop. Remember, his father was a carpenter, and he was a carpenter's son.
Carpenter.
And he's a carpenter's son, and he spent a lot of his work doing what his father was doing. And I believe somehow that has had a bearing in the very personality of Christ. Therefore, a hands-on approach to learning is often beneficial for boys because providing opportunities for practical and experiential learning can help boys actively engage in the material and development essential skills. So experiential learning is good for growth. because you learn from experience. You make blunders, and then you fix the problems that you make. And this could involve activities like such as experiments, projects, field trips, and real-world applications of knowledge. Therefore, true knowledge is one that gets you involved. And actually, that is the very education that Ellen White prescribes.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the prescription that Ellen White gives about our schools, they should be out there and we should be taught to work in our gardens. We should be taught. That's why in academic circles, we say we educate the heart, the hand, and the mind. But it's the head, the hand, the heart, and the head. Three H's. So there's no how we can leave out the hand in effective and true education. So, a hands-on approach is very, very important in the development of the boy child.
I've had challenges subscribing to the issue of role models. I think, actually, you know, now I'm exposing my age once again. I never saw people that could be role models, other than people from TV, you know. But how important are role models in a boy's child? And does the boy child need role models in order to work hard? And do those role models, you know, have to be in the church, outside of the church, or the mix, the chakalaka mix there, it's okay?
You know what? We are speaking here as Christians, and our intention is to make wholesome men. Men that are fit in all spheres of life, and we also want men who will be responsible in the community. And above everything else, our intention is to make men that will push the agenda of Christ in the community. So the issue of role models is very, very, very important. It's very important. It either makes or breaks the boy child. This, I have facts to prove that from the Bible. We can make a comparison between the life of Samson and the life of the two sons of Eli, that is Hophni and Phineas. You know what? The parents to Samson did greatly to raise up Samson. However, we know that he made his own personal choices. But how his life ends will show you how the influence that his role models, the influence the role models made in his life. Because unlike Hophni and Phineas, Samson started well, left the faith for a while, but at the end he remembered where he came from because of the influence of what his role models. On the other hand, Eli was the priest serving in the temple. He had his own son, Hophni and Phineas, but he failed in his parental duty. Hophni and Phineas became something else, and their end was not the end like the end of Samson, based on the influence they got from their father, who was their role model. Actually, when you read about Eli and his two sons, Ellen White, I'll paraphrase.
Okay.
Says that their father was an indulgent father. He could not call them to order. They got everything that they wanted, anyhow, at any time, and that had a negative impact in their spiritual well-being and in their social well-being and in their holistic life. They became useless sons. And the difference that we see between Samson and Hophni and Phineas is that because Samson had good role models, his end was a positive one.
Okay.
Because at the end of his life, the guy repented of his sins. But these guys, they are born and raised, I don't know how to say it, in the most holy place, maybe at the GC headquarters, but their end result is very bad. They die having denied God, yet their father was the high priest. So indeed, role models play a vital role in motivating boys to work hard, and we cannot underestimate the role and the influence of role models.
Yeah, indeed. So when we now come, as we wrap up, my pastor, there any closing words regarding the whole issue of us teaching our boy children? And after that, do you please do pray for us? Oh, I lost Mfundis. I lost Mfundis, so I need us call him back, you know, so he can wrap up there. I don't know why the line just dropped accidentally, I believe. Pastor, welcome. Ruti, welcome back.
What happened to your phone?
It's yours. AWR phone. It's yours. It's not me.
No, come on. It's AWR phone. Dear listeners, it was not my fault. Please blame the studio. It has nothing to do with me. I was here shocked as what happened.
No, I was saying then, Muruti, that, you know, I love how you're also emphasizing the issue of role models that from all fears of life. And as we wrap up the conversation last one day, as we are talking about the education of the boy child, we know that we do have children that do not have fathers or father figures there. So what then do they do? Do they reach out to the church? Do they reach out to their uncles? And yeah, some uncles, because Abanye, what then do they do so that they can have that, you know, that fatherly education that comes with having a father?
You know what? You are raising a very painful question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about in South Africa or other countries in the region, but in Botswana, man, I've noticed that the government has invested heavily on the girl child. There is so much that the government is doing for the girl child,
yes,
but very little is being done for the boy child. We are raising... we have invested so much in the girl child and have forgotten the boy child. And in the process, the boy child cannot match the girl child. That's a discussion for another day. However, because of this high investment on the girl child and the living behind of the boy child, I think it is very important for us to refocus and come up with programs and a means of making sure that we pull from the abyss of this life the boy child and bring him back and motivate them. It's painful that there are boys there who don't have fathers, who do not have anyone they can look up to. But I believe it is the responsibility of the church, because God has imbued this church with so much wealth that needs to be deposited to the world. So there is no excuse for us as a church to say there's nothing that we can do. Yet God has given us so much resources that we can use to help the boy child. By the way, I'm taking care of a department, and in Botswana we have established, in our system we have Adventist men organization.
Yes.
And the young men in Botswana have said, no, this thing is for the old folks. We need to come up with something that speaks to our local needs. I have assembled a team that looks at the spiritual needs of young men, the physical, physiological needs of the young men, that's your men's health, the economic needs of young men, the academic needs of young men. So indeed, as a church, there's so much that we can do. And I believe that even if it may not be programs that are run by churches, I believe we as men who have been exposed to these great truths, we have a responsibility to play. I need to look for a young man out there that I can take care of, that I can mentor, that I can shape their life. So it is a responsibility to all of us to, as men, to take care of the younger men that are following us. So, yeah, that's what I believe.
Muruti, I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for our boy children that whenever they receive this education, whenever they're looking for role models, you know, that the Holy Spirit may guide them and they will be able to be receptive to the education that they get?
All right, let's pray. Father God, who art in heaven, we are thankful that, for the fact that you have given us great truths and you have caused a lot of light to shine upon us. We do not want to repeat the mistake of priests like Eli, who did not raise up their sons in a manner that you had wanted them to. And for that reason, dear Lord, may you help all the men so that they may help bring up Samuels instead of Hophnis and Phinehas.
Hmm.
Dear God, we also note that the parents of Samson did their part. And in the process, Samson made a choice. Help us, Lord, so that we may not get into depression when our sons make their choices. Help us to help them in their choices so that they may see you in the terrible mistakes that they make. And above everything else, Lord, when you save the women into your kingdom, please save the boy child in your kingdom. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Muruti, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for coming through to speaking to us. May you have a blessed day.
Blessings to you and blessings to our listeners. Bye.
Amen. Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.